Kyle Lowry leaving, going to Miami. I think anybody who thought he was on his way out felt like that was always the most natural home for him. Before we dive into his fit in Miami and what it means for the Raptors, just in terms of his legacy, it feels like we've all been kind of wrestling with it for, you know, we can go back to the bubble. We can go back to when this team first left Toronto. Definitely can go back to the deadline this year. What do you most think of when you think back on Kyle Lowry as a Raptor?
I think of heart. I think of just incredible passion and intensity and desire and just a relentless pursuit of what he believed was his own destiny. I mean, right from the beginning, he would say over and over again that it's all about chasing that gold ball. And for a lot of people in Toronto supporting the Raptors, that never felt like a realistic goal. But bit by bit, they pecked away at it in this We the North era. They got to the conference finals. They made that a norm, getting to the playoffs and competing at a high level, only to get undone by LeBron James. And that's the standard that he set. And then they go out and they get Kawhi Leonard and they get over the top. And I think that capped it off. That game six against the Golden State Warriors, no one will ever forget the way he came out in that game and said, this is ending here. This is ending tonight, and the Raptors are going to be world champions.
So we've talked a lot about what it means for Toronto and the Raptors and fans and you know, everyone here. How does he fit in Miami? How did the Miami Heat look with Kyle Lowry as the big addition this offseason? Is that a team that looks like someone that can threaten for a championship next season?
I'm not so quite sure on the championship front. I would still put the Brooklyn Nets above them. I would still put the Milwaukee Bucks above them. But when you look at Lowry being paired with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you think of two-way players that play as hard as anyone. And I think that is something that is going to make those other teams earn every bit of a win that they get. And so in a seven-game series, you obviously wouldn't write them off on any level. You look at having a coach like Eric Spoelstra, obviously that combination is what's going to be tough to overcome. And so you give Lowry, you know, a big like Bama Adebayo, you give him some shooting that they'll have in Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson. And based on the reports that we're seeing so far, I think that is something that he'll thrive off of. And he'll enjoy being a leader alongside Jimmy Butler. Both of them love to play hard and take no excuses, make no excuses. And that's exactly the type of Miami Heat team that we'll see next season.
Sportsnet today, talking to Vivek Jacob here, Brent Gunning, Justin Bourne alongside me. Text line's open, 590, 590. Please include your name and location. You mentioned the big there, and man, it's just so frustrating thinking how different last year would have gone. And I know eventually they got whacked by COVID, and it felt like there was never any chance of recovering from that. But if this team just had a couple capable bigs, it seems like everything would have been so much more different. Now, looking ahead to next season, I know losing Lowry hurts a lot. They do have the mid-level exception to kind of work with. If they're able to land a serviceable big or a couple of bigs that can play rotation minutes for this team, just how good do you think the Raptors can be without Kyle Lowry?
If they can address the center position, maybe get a bit more shooting on board as well, I think they can be a low-end playoff team. We mentioned Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. I think that would be the top three. Then you would put Miami there. Then you're looking at Atlanta and Boston. And beyond that, you know, maybe they're in that mix with the Knicks, and maybe the Wizards look better now. And I would put them in that category right now. Obviously, we have to see how much just being back in Toronto, hopefully, would change things. And obviously, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, those are guys that love to prove themselves, and they will be looking at this opportunity without Kyle Lowry to say, hey, we can keep, you know, get this show back on the rails and keep it moving. And for Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, I think that's the biggest thing. And OG Anunoby joining up with them as well.
So the fan base loses Kyle Lowry, but they gain themselves one Scottie Barnes. I know there is differing levels of excitement about that depending on where you stand on how the draft went. But I, for one, as a lover of all things online content, love him already. What should fans expect from him on the court next season? And then as a forecast into his future, if you have some thoughts on that, it'd be great too.
Yeah, for sure. I think with Scottie Barnes, you're getting a player who can defend all five positions, and I think that's the thing that appealed the most to the Raptors. His defensive flexibility, versatility that pairs along with OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. Bobby Webster, GM, was saying that, you know, he would love if he could get five guys that look like that in the starting lineup. And so I think from that standpoint, you look at matching up against teams like a Brooklyn, where you have the size of a James Harden and Kevin Durant and that combined skill as well. You look over at Philadelphia, they've got Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. You look over at the New York Knicks with Julius Randle. Across the Atlantic Division, they're going to be going up against a combination of size and skill, and that's where Scottie Barnes factors in. Offensively, it's going to be a bit of a journey, and so when you're projecting to the future, that's going to be what he needs to sort out, that jump shot. From a passing standpoint, vision standpoint, he's got that, and he's going to continue to work on that. Obviously, with rookies, it takes some time to understand the NBA speed, the NBA physicality, and playing through that. So I think that's the journey for him, that offensive side of the ball and figuring things out. Wouldn't be surprised to see him come off the bench this season as he continues to learn and grow and then sort of figure out his niche alongside the other vets on this team.
I mean, he's the fourth overall pick. Obviously, the team has incentive to use him and develop him, but just the fact that he's able to kind of step in from the jump and be that plus defender, or at least league-level defender that Nick Nurse loves and wants to harp on, it feels to me like there's the road to minutes there. In terms of Trent Jr., he ends up making pretty much the same amount of money Powell made, albeit on a shorter-term deal. Do you expect for him to fit in a little better with this group? It felt like after the trade last year, obviously Norm was such a part of this core, this group, and the group had been together for so long, and then you throw someone new in like Trent Jr., and I don't want to make it seem as though Fred VanVleet was icing him out or Malachi Flynn was trying to ice him out, but it just felt like he was very disjointed from the team despite some big scoring nights. Do you expect him to kind of fit a little better this season, or what do you think his role will be? Because it seems to me, if you're looking for scoring, yes, I realize throughout the league this isn't a guy you point to and say he'll get you buckets, but I feel like he can get you some buckets.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad. I think he can get you some buckets. I think he'll fit in better this season. I think just having a full training camp and then going into a more stable environment that the Raptors expect to have, I think all of those factors will play into him just performing better. And I think understanding his teammates and having the security of the reported contract that's out there, I think that will aid him as well. And defensively, you know, we talked about Scottie Barnes defensively. It's kind of the opposite with Gary Trent, and he's got to fit in a bit better on that side of the ball. And you'd like to think that having those other pieces and stabilizing that center position will maybe not just hide some of his weaknesses, but also push him to be better. You know, when you're around all those great defenders, it should push you to be better.